Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Between love and hate,
the sweetest woman in the world can be so mean.
all. Welcome to the episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lau and Chris. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all the people listening in those 30 countries around the globe. And I just want to thank all my well wishers. Last week, man, I was balled up like a baby, sick as a dog. And this is the first time I'm starting to feel better. But I appreciate all the prayers because prayer changes things. And I want to thank all my friends who have prayed on my behalf. Tonight we got a special show. We're going to have Minister Andre Carter, and he's going to give his take on romance. Now, for all of y'all people sitting up in the church acting like holier than thou when you talk about sex, well, we give a blast this door wide open to the church. Now, whether you come down and want to get baptized is a different story. But before I bring on Minister Carter, I want to say hi to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you today? I'm doing fine.
I'm better than I was, darling.
Awesome.
This is going to be a great show because people got the conception about ministers, you know. And you know, Chris, my daddy and grandpa and a lot of ones in my family were ministers. I know the inside scoop. It ain't all what y'all think they are. They are just like you, Chris, and this guy and that guy. You, I mean, they put their pants on the same way you do, same way I do. So without further ado, because I got a lot of questions for you, Minister Andre Carter. How you doing, darling?
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I know it's kind of rough, you know, to do your regular job and also prepare your sermons for the week and everything and Bible class. So I commend that part of your devotion, you know, but I also know you have taken on the task of being honest and forthright, you know, about what we need to save ourselves. You know, a lot of people think if we say, well, Jesus is the mediator between God and man, we're safe. That statement is true. But no, you're not safe. You got to first go to Acts 2, you know, and commit, you know, your sins, repent, acknowledge Christ as your Savior, and get baptized in a watery grave, you know, so it's not just saying, oh, he's a medium to God, man, that don't save you, baby. So we're going to let you take care of the wrong beliefs that people are believing. And then, like I said before, you want to talk about romance? We're going there. So first, let people know how they can get saved, and then we're going to open the door.
Okay. Well, let me just introduce myself.
Okay.
My name is Reverend Andre A.J. Carter. I'm also known as the Love Mechanic. And I'm a reformed sex addict. I talk and write about my real life, you know, real life experiences. I once had a 3 to 5 women per day sex habit. I now
You said what?
3 to 5 women per day sex habit.
Maybe your thing was going to fall off, wouldn't it? But okay, go ahead. Oh, my God.
I've been married now for 20 years.
That's so hard.
I have 4 biological children and 2 stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I am a certified master life coach, motivational speaker, an author with a concentration of in relationship coaching.
All right. So, you know, I'm so glad that you're honest with that because a lot of people got the wrong conception. They think that once you took on the responsibility to be a minister, a brother, whatever title y'all use, and nothing personal, but for me, I don't use the title reverend, but I say that exclusively for Jehovah God. But, you know, people think that when you are the shepherd of the sheep, I'll say that you don't mess up or you haven't messed up or you've been touched from a young person that, okay, this is your calling. That would be nice. And I'm sure in some cases that could be true because I'm seeing little babies on YouTube and stuff preaching like they've been in the pulpit for 4 or 5 years. I'm seeing little babies like 6 years old. So,
that's right.
What was it for you that made you know that was what you wanted to do? Because that's a hard task to take on that responsibility.
Well, I've been in and out the church from young. My mother's a minister. My father's a minister. And I've been in and out, in and out, in and out. And then I guess my mother-in-law reintroduced me to the church. She had a new minister that she wanted to introduce me to.
Uh-huh.
And from that point, once I met up with him, you know, my whole life has changed. You know, I did a total 360. So, you know, I mean, he was what I was looking for, you know, because a lot of churches, you know, they didn't have the combination of things I was looking for. You know, a lot of churches, they got good singers there, but the minister is not ministering in a way that touches me.
Right,
you know?
And you put your heart, get your attention.
Right, it doesn't get my attention. You know, they talking about stuff from the Bible that has no relevancy to today, and you know, all type of stuff. You know, I don't do that. You know,
right.
I talk about how the Bible affects us today.
Exactly.
And the things that's going on today, something you can relate to, you know? And that's what this minister did for me. And from there, you know, I climbed up the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, before I put Tris on here, I want to thank your wife, because I'm sure before she got married to you, I'm sure she heard all the rumors and all the crap, you know, but for her to stand firm, because she could see that God had something special for your life, and she knew a change was coming for you. So I got to applaud the sister, because don't no woman want to deal with a man got so much baggage that she feels overwhelmed. So kudos to your wife on that.
I got to say kudos to her.
Yeah,
because she knew before I got married. All her friends are telling me, that's what you mean.
So, Trish, you want to ask you a question?
Okay. Well, Andre, do you prefer to be called Andre or AJ? I mean, what would you like me to call you?
You can call me Andre, AJ, whatever you feel like calling me, whatever makes you comfortable.
Okay, well, Andre, my first question, as I was researching you, this was the first question that came to mind. Was being a reverend and an author a lifelong dream, or did that happen by accident?
Being a minister wasn't a lifelong dream at all, actually. I couldn't even see myself as being that. Okay, but I was always a writer.
Okay. Sorry about that. Minister, that's it.
No, minister, reverend, same thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that book that you wrote, I definitely want to get a copy from you. We'll discuss that a little later. But when you was going through the position of having multiple women on a daily basis, were you also actively in a church, or were you going to church to find women? Because a lot of people tell these young boys out here, you want to find a good woman, you went to the church because they're good women. You know, man, you got some scandalous women in the church too, because I've seen them up close and personal. I'm not going to call out no names, but y'all know who y'all are.
Well, I'll say this. I was always an athlete, for one thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in those days, I mean, because I'm going back now, in those days I was in great shape. So I didn't have to go to a church to get women. I walk down the street and get women. So I had no problem. That wasn't
you got the muscles in your arms busting out, right? And that sweat on your chest. Better do it. That will do it. But you know something? It's a shame, though, that even though you probably attracted the attention because of your physique and everything, you know, it's sad that you see a lot of women want somebody's man because it don't belong to them. And no step is good on my nerve, because it takes work for a woman to cultivate that man fix him up. And I'm not saying fix him up because he was a dog. No, I'm talking about make him look his best, you know, hook him up, you know, where you can see the potential in him. Because I've seen this recently, one of my friends, man, she took her husband and she fixed him up. And he's a sweetheart. I mean, they're the perfect couple. Man, they'll make me want to go fight somebody if somebody try to mess with that, because they're two nice people, you know, and they compliment each other so well. But it just pisses me off when I see somebody out there after somebody else did the hard work and y'all want to come along, you know, trying to distract somebody. Don't do it. Don't do it in front of Terry Lau, because you don't want none of this. Don't do it. I'm just saying.
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay, well, Chris, go ahead and ask your question, because I'm getting ready to get down and dirty. So you can ask your little questions that's politically correct, because I'm not going there tonight.
You're going to give me milk.
Yep, well, I'm going to give you milk, baby.
our show's never been too PC, Terry.
I know, right?
we're against PC, or at least I am. Anyway, my question is... My next question is, how long, Andre, how long did it take you to write your book, the manual?
About a year.
About a year. Oh, all right. That's good. And I guess I'll follow up that question with, have you gotten, I'm going to be honest, I haven't read the book, but it sounds fabulous. What has been the public responses? I mean, what are people more happy with it, or are people more against it?
I haven't had any negative reviews as of yet, no. So, I mean, I'll put it this way. I've had one review that I really didn't care for, where I've had all 5 stars and one person gave me 3, and I was upset about that.
All right. Yeah, it happened.
But everything else is 5 stars.
Yeah, but you know, I don't care what you write. Somebody's going to be always out there to have something smart to say. But, you know, the fact that you own the fact that you are a minister, you own the fact that you love sex, you own the fact that you had an addiction, you know, because I guess if you screw on 5 different women, it's an addiction because it's not the same woman. And let me ask you a question. Well, the sex that you had 5 different women, was it because the sex was different, or someone would be into something kinky, like, you know, the bondage? Somebody might be into that dominatrix, or somebody might just be into an ordinary missionary. I mean, was it 5 different ones because they was all different, or they all supplied a certain thing the other one wouldn't do?
No. An addiction is exactly what it sounds like, an addiction. A crackhead doesn't go to 5 different dealers because the crack is different. He's going to 5 different dealers because it's crack.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? He's looking for that feeling. He's looking for that high. That's what sex does for a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the position, to none of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you have 5 women in one day, so am I to assume in your glove compartment you got a wad of condoms and lube?
I said I've been married for 20 years. I also said that.
We ain't talking about what you're doing now. You ain't doing nothing now. I'm talking about prior to your wife pulling that rein in tight and got you on a right narrow, straight narrow road. I'm talking about prior to her. Like I said, God bless her, because if I knew about your past, man, you would have been kicked to the curb. But bless her heart for hanging in there, because she saw potential that a lot of us would not have saw. All we were saw is this dirty dog. I can't watch him, my back is turned, because he's going to do this and do that. You know, that's the only thing I would probably be thinking of if I was her. But so she is a strong woman. I got to give her props.
Oh, yes,
very
she is.
Yeah, but before
I
that, you know, but before you got with her and you calmed down, it had to be something about her that made you want to calm down that was different from the other ladies, because I'm sure them other 5 ladies, I'm sure they was attractive women. They had to do something to, you know, get you to even look at them, you know?
Well, in all actuality, when I met my wife, I was visiting a friend in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling me that you know, he was pointing out his nurse,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "Yo, you know, I know you'd be getting a lot of girls and whatnot, but you didn't get this one. You know, what you think about her?" And I sat there and looked at her. I seen her around before and whatnot. You know, I ain't really sweating or nothing like that. He said, "Yo, but mm-hmm. well, check her out." And I was like, "You know what? Let me go see what's up with her." The first few times she turned me down, but I'm persistent. So.
Yeah, because she said no. That's why you wanted it more.
Yep. Exactly.
Man. Oh, okay. Well, Chris, what you got? What's your take on this, darling?
Well, I'm not. I'm hesitant to ask him about his sex life. I'm just too nervous. So I'm just gonna ask him. Andre, your book has been out for a few years. Has anyone commanded a sequel to this book?
No, I mean, people have asked me when I'm coming out with the next book, not necessarily mm-hmm. a sequel per se, but you know, I am working on something. So.
Oh, that's well, great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times, like Chris talking about a sequel, people say that because they enjoy what they read, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
Not to get mm-hmm. it confused, I just think that it's not enough ministers out there who are honest enough to tell the before person and the after person. Because like the song says, you know, Amazing Grace, once was, you know, not that you are now. And a lot of people, because they got you on this pedestal that he's a minister, or they call him reverend, or they call him brother, they call him shepherd, whatever they choose to call you by, you know, a lot of people don't think that y'all are capable of messing up. And y'all just men. Y'all going to mess up. But how did you feel when you would mess up and you knew that you had to get done what you was doing by 1 o'clock because you had a couple more ladies coming before the day was over? How did you feel? Did it bother you that you had just stuck your little thing in somebody else and now you got to come here and put your tongue other places, you know? Because that was just nasty, okay? I'm just saying, you know. How did it feel when you only got to partner number two and you had three to go that day?
I never thought of it like that, actually, and whatnot. It wasn't until a woman pointed to me at my job. She had told me that she had a rumor, and this was an older woman. She was like 65 or so at that time, and I was around 30. So,
oh, now you have that panther, huh?
Anyway.
They call white women, or they call black women panthers, for people who don't know. But
she wasn't a panther. That's the thing. She was trying to educate me on something. So she came to me, and she had said, you know, I heard a rumor that you done had sex with every woman in this building from the first to the 10th floor.
Oh, my God.
And I never really thought about that. I mean, you know, when it's pointed out to me, then it's like, wow, that's true. You know, I never thought about it, and that's what began to turn around for me.
Wow.
But yet nobody's ever pointed it out. You know, I always was the type of person like, oh, I saw an attractive woman. Oh, there go a new girl coming up in here. Let me go get with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I get that.
I was accounting.
That's a lot of floors and a lot of apartments in that building. But, you know, you said that from the first to the 10th floor. Okay, well, I'm going to get back to the nitty-gritty. Okay, now, yeah, you got condoms, but, you know, condoms, they break, you know. So that's
mm-hmm.
not always a good indication why you use a condom. What about when you was having all those women, did you have oral sex? I mean, because you don't have a condom on your mouth. I mean, that's dangerous.
No.
Oh, just stick it and pull it out.
Stick and move.
Oh, my God. I'll just smack you. Pat, pat, pat. I'm going to just smack it. Taste out your mouth. Oh, Oh, my God. Go ahead, Chris, because that was my grandson or something. I had to whoop his little honey.
Yeah, Andre. Your Amazon bio says that you've made 12 television appearances. Have you been on any shows that our viewing public, our listening public, or me or Terry would know? Have you been on any? What kind of shows have you been on?
I've been on quite a few. I mean, I've been on BET, I've been on NBC, I've been on CBS. And then quite a few cable channels, because a friend of mine is a producer, and I walked up in there one time doing a show, and I got two more shows. Just be
okay, wonderful.
Wow.
Keep
going.
Was that about your sex life?
Huh?
Was that about your sex life that you was on these shows?
Yes.
See, sex sell. Always have.
Sex does sell. There ain't no argument there. Sex does sell. And I do watch it.
Yeah, who doesn't, you know? Yeah, he out there talking about, I watch it, so you're going to put your peephole out there, Chris. Yeah, I'm in a porno, I watch it. I ain't telling nobody nothing. If you don't know what I do, I ain't telling you. I don't think so, not today, anyway.
Oh, well, it ain't going to hurt. What's it going to hurt? It's all legal.
It sure is. It's legal. Anytime you got marijuana in Colorado in machines that you can just dispense them, you know, if you got drugs legal, then I guess sex is legal, unless you're buying it on the red light district of a community, because prostitution is not legal. But, you know.
Well, in Las Vegas, it is.
Huh?
In Las Vegas, prostitution is legal.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It depends on where you at, because they got them ranches where, what's that guy, used to be married to the Kardashian chick, you know, and he it was
Kanye West.
Kanye?
No, it was a basketball player that used to be married.
Oh, Lamar.
Oh, you're talking about the other one.
Lamar. When they found him, he almost died. Yeah, he was in one of those ranches. They thought he was, he didn't have sex with nobody, but they found him unresponsible with white stuff coming out of his mouth. But yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the thing is, it just seems like to me that the more that we get away from doing what biblically should be correct, is the further away we're getting from common decency, because it just seems like we're living in a shameless society where anything goes and people don't have no remorse for the things that they do, you know, and I don't want to ever get to that point. You know, I'm joking and playing games and all that kind of stuff. I don't never want to get to the point where I don't have no remorse for something that I know is not right. And today when you're preaching, Andre, and you got to touch every area, because everything we need to grow better as Christians. When you get to the subject about sex and fornication and da-da-da-da-da, you know, do you ever get anybody who look at you all sideways, like saying, who he think he is? He got this old book writing about how nasty he was and da-da-da-da. You know, a leopard don't change their spots. People always want to throw it up in your face, a leopard don't change their spots. You know, but you people can change.
You know, but those people that say that obviously are not sincere Christians, because they don't believe that God still performs miracles.
Amen. Good answer. Good answer. So. That's right. Yep, if he can turn water into wine, good answer. Yep.
That's
so
right.
Go ahead, Chris. Hey, you got your question. That's a good answer. I was going to see what you're going to say with that one.
All right, Andre. I guess my next question, to kind of keep the conversation interesting, is there anybody that you've had sex with that you regret having sex with?
It better be anybody after your wife.
It was nobody after my wife. No, but
yeah,
I don't really have any regrets per se. Everything is, I don't believe in regrets. I believe in lessons.
Good.
Okay. So everything is a lesson. Either it's a good lesson or it's a bad lesson. You know, like Einstein said, you know, You can make 10,000, you can call it 10,000 mistakes, or you could find out 10,000 ways that it didn't work. You know, so.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, I wouldn't know. You and Chris wouldn't know because y'all men. I just could imagine, because as a young girl, you know, a lot of questions I wanted to know, I was too ashamed to ask my mother or my sister because I didn't want them to think I was stupid. So for young boys, I've watched one of my girlfriends raise her son, and she kept getting on his case because he was always putting a virus on the laptop because he was always going to the porno sites. So do most young boys, when they go into puberty, do you find all of them embarrassed to talk about it, or they talk about it to their friends who don't know nothing either, and that is why they mess up and they get caught up with all these different females, thinking that the more they do it, the more they learn?
You know, I have those same conversations with my daughter. Not that she listens, but I tell her anyway.
That's good.
You know, because I tell her, I say, you know, you need to come to me when you have a question about, you know, boys or whatever, because the people that you're speaking to, they don't know no more than you do.
Exactly.
What they know, you know? They haven't lived. So I say, you know, go to somebody with the experience. Just like when you go to school and you go to, and you in school getting lessons from the teacher, you don't have the students sit in front of the class. You ask questions and raise for the teacher, of course. So
exactly. You
do the same thing here. I'm the teacher. Don't go to the students.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly this one minister, but a long time ago, his sermon was on the me thing. And what he was saying was, he was talking to the young women and to some of the mature ladies. He said, you know, I am go so sick and tired of y'all acting like, you know, y'all can't wait on God. You know, Sarah waited. She was 90 before she had her baby. But let some guy come along and say, if you love me, you'll give me what you got between your legs. And he said, no, that don't mean if you love me, I give that to you. And he was giving so many examples, like, you know, once you give me away, it's not special anymore. Once you let somebody tell you that, okay, it's all right to give me your personal stuff that everybody else know about, because he done told everybody about it. And the sermon was about me. Don't give up to me. So when you give up to me, you lose yourself, because that's the most precious thing that you have to offer your future husband. You know, you just don't give away something that you can get rid of only one time, you know. And that's meaning medically, you know, for people who don't know, once a woman has been protruded down there, it's the skin called the hymen is broken. You're no longer a virgin. So it was such a good sermon on the me thing. You know, don't listen to a little boy saying, if you love me, if you do this, me. But it was such
I gave the same lesson at a school I visited.
That's wonderful. That is a wonderful sermon.
I told them, this is how I did it.
Okay.
I had a container of honey, and I passed around 20 cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with this girl. And I said, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pass this honey down the road.
Okay.
Pass it to everybody that got the cup, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody pour some in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then when they finish pouring some, they give it to you back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little corner of honey left.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, now this is what you got to give your husband. That's, you gave
your
money away.
Oh, wow. That's so That's profound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have nothing left to give the man of your dreams when the God
chose. That's right.
Whoa. But they made them look at each other and say, wow. And then what was left over in that cup was the sticky mess that you done got yourself into. Bad reputation.
Yeah.
Possible pregnancy, you know. Baby, that was a good message. Yeah. Well, Chris, I know you got a question. You better go here because we'll be running out of time soon.
Yeah, I'm thinking about questions. You know, here in the conversation, you know, my curiosity is on overdrive tonight. Well, since you mentioned honey, Andre, what is your, and you know, like I said, forgive me if this is too personal. These are just questions that are just popping into my head. But what is your favorite? What is your favorite food to have sex with?
Don't answer that, Andre. Yes.
Let me tell you something. Everybody that has sex doesn't get whipped with belts and all that type of stuff or paddles.
Everybody
that has sex don't melt candle wax on their breasts and all that. So to answer your question about my favorite food, I didn't have sex with food. I had sex with women.
Okay. Well, I mean using food, not having sex with food.
People use ice cubes and stuff like that. You know, yeah, I've done that, but I haven't had I couldn't call it a favorite, you know.
Okay.
All right. Well, just to elaborate, you know, I've been there, done that, like you're talking about, Andre. But for some people who don't know, who's not as liberated sexually, there are things that you could use that's edible,
like whipped cream,
that entices the sexual episode. Like, for instance, a Nestle Crunch bar, because the chocolate is going to melt by her body being warm, and the little Rice Krispie things is going to stimulate his penis as well as her inside when they're doing what they're doing. So that's a big turn-on. Just like Pop Rocks, a candy you put in your mouth and it pops and everything, he'll lose his mind, you know. But any more questions on sex and what you can eat and have sex with, y'all going to have to pay for, because I know some things.
I see that, because you put me on the
subject. I know some things.
I ain't never heard no Pop Rocks.
Oh, baby, Pop Rocks is a bomb. Look at him telling you. Look, a guy who loses his mind, you know, he put that in her mouth, and then she get down his penis, and that's like, he'd be like, oh, my God, bring tears to his eye. I had one guy, he was screaming like a little, you know, I ain't going to say the word, biatch, you know what I mean?
Don't worry, we're not in church.
Been there, done that. That should be our next book. How to make sex fun without getting in trouble. But anyway, you know, Andre, it's such a pleasure having you here with us. And for y'all who don't know, Andre is coming back on March the 26th because we're going to do a part two. Because I am not going to let this minister get off of the hot seat, you know, because I appreciate the fact that he's honest. I appreciate the fact that he's showing respect and love to his wife of 25 plus years. And I appreciate the fact that she gave him a chance, because it lets everybody know that give a person a chance, stop judging them from where they've been, is where they're going. And you got to give your wife props, Andre, for hanging in there with you. You know, she ought to give some class for the women in the church so they know what to do. So they're looking at you sideways. Keep it moving, chick. Keep it moving. I so enjoyed you, but Andre, make sure you put that down on your calendar. We got you down here for March the 26th to do a part two, and I just enjoyed talking to you. And Chris, is there anything you want to say to our special guest?
You've been a great guest, and I like your sense of humor. Hold on, I like your sense of humor, and I look forward to interviewing you for a part two.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So it's a pleasure, Andre. You know, keep in touch. Remember that phone number, because I do the same thing. I don't recognize the phone number, I don't answer either, because too many spam callers acting like, you know, Social Security, they got some money for you, PayPal got some money. Give me a break. Don't call me. If they have something for it, put it in the mail. And we do it that way. Put it in the mail if y'all owe me some money. But I want to say thank you, Andre. Thank you, Chris. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
See y'all next week. And my homeboy from New York City, Mr. Andre Carter. He likes to be called Reverend Andre Carter. But our shepherd, my brother in Christ, you know, thank you for being here. And I can't wait to come back.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
you're welcome,
it.
You're welcome, darling. You take care.
I had
now.
A good time. You too.
I'm here. Have a great weekend.
You too. You do the same.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.